often that I change that quickly. Man's got to do what a man's got to do. It's my privilege this morning as well to rejoice and get excited when people get entrusted with new motorcycles. So we know you get the concept of toys, tools and treasures, and this is a tool that God has placed in the hands of Dion and Heidi. No, no, not Dion and Heidi, Martin and Jen. Maybe that was prophetic. I don't know. I'm going to ask Martin and Jen to come up, please. If you just pray a blessing over you guys entrusted with this awesome, awesome machine. On the social group, they spoke about how many red motorcycles that there are. And Jen, your outfit match nogal. We're very, very excited for you guys. And we're just looking forward to seeing the way in which God uses you as he already has and continues to use you to win motorcyclists, their friends and families to the Lord, one heart at a time. And we know it's so not to do about the motorcycles, but it's a blessing and privilege to be able to be part of an organization like this where we can use our enthusiasm for motorcyclists to touch people's lives with the light, life, and love of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we can rejoice these precious servants that have said, yes, Lord, here I am, send us. Thank you that you watch over Martin and Jennifer every time that they're on this motorcycle, that you will keep them safe. We cancel any negativity that anybody might speak over them about these things being dangerous, Lord God, as they are safely in your hands. Thank you that every time they turn the key of this ignition, Lord God, they will remember your goodness. And every open door that you give them, they will use it to testify of your goodness. We know that every good and perfect gift is from above, the Father of heavenly lights, in whom there's no variation and shadow of turning. Thank you that they will have many, many, many trouble-free, safe, evangelically prosperous kilometers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Folks, we've had an intense 3 weeks here at this fellowship. We embarked upon LTS, what's known as Life Training School. It's not a course. It's not something that you go through to get a certificate or a qualification or a degree. You can imagine what happens when there remains 3 weke afsonder. 3 weke, maandag tot vrijdag, van 6:30 en tot somtijds 11:15 in die aande, om self af te sonder, to hear from God. I want to tell you that miracles happen. So we'd like to publicly congratulate the folks that have completed the LTS course for 2022 and hand their certificates over to them. So if all the LTS candidates for 2022 could come to the front, please, I'd appreciate it. Where are these certificates? The ones that I gave to you this morning before we left home, those ones. It's been a hectic week. While Colette is, I know this has not been planned, but I want to put you people on the spot while she's gone to collect those certificates. I'd just like to ask if anybody would just like to take 1 minute, 1 minute to share for you what was the highlight. This is not your opportunity to preach your best sermon because I know you're all ready now. You're taught up and you're ready to preach till kingdom come. But take 1 minute to share what was for you the highlight. Anybody? Anybody? Don't be shy. I'll stand with you. But you're near the end. Anybody? Going once? Going twice? That's Equibus. Bless you, brother.
Ja, more. Net van, ek denk, ek gaan over namens allemaal praat hier so, en ek kan net vir sê, die opoffering wat jy gemaakt het, is die minste wat ons kan doen, wat die Here vir ons gedoen het. En wat ons hieruit kon geleer het, is mind-boggling, life-changing forever for the kingdom of God. So, die Here al die eer, en glo my, jy gaan sien die verskil in elkeen sy lewe van hier af.
Dankie, Kobus. Anybody else? Okay, there we go. You're off the hook, the certificates here. Thank you. Okay, let's All right, what we're going to do is we're going to hand out all of the certificates and then just give the congratulatory applause at the end, please. Some of, for the second time, Marika, well done. Ek weet, I'm not being too personal here, but Marika lost a family member and still made the commitment to continue the course afterwards. Mense, dit wil gedoen word, kom ek sê vir julle dit. Lizette de Jager, Kobus Koetse, I knew that. Shanae, you saw a pipent. What do you think you're doing? Deline, Brendan, young man, our youngest candidate for the course. You don't mind if I share how young you are, Mona? So we got from 19 to 72. What a spectrum. The testimonies that come out of this has just been incredible. Wesley was busy sharing with us. He explained to he's got a pressurized job as well. It's deadlines and it's pressure. And when he got to work in the mornings, the guys just wanted to know, what did you discuss last night? What did you discuss last night? And they had fellowship around what he received. It's absolutely incredible to see that. Janine, Rose, I knew that. Shalane, now you can touch. This is once you can touch an old. Teresa. Wesley, this is good exercise, getting ready for my preach. How the Lord came to me in a vision. There we go. Quibus, there's an Ericant. Sani. And then Myrna. Myrna, 72 years old, and she tells me that she's living with a mom. No, actually, her mom is living with her. And her mom is 94 years old. And at 72 years old, you don't have that attitude, oh, what can this snot-corp little lighty teach me? But you knew that God had something for you, Myrna. It's been encouraging to see you lean forward and receive what the Lord has for you. To each and every single one of you guys, sure, start off with strangers and end off close family and friends. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. In the name of Jesus, we release you into the world and make an impact for the kingdom of God. And let His kingdom come and His will be done in your lives and through you to the praise and glory of His name. Father, we thank you for these precious people. Thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifice that they have made. We know that it doesn't compare anything close to the sacrifice that you made. But for us as people, it's huge, Lord. Thank you that you will bless them for their faithfulness, that you will reward them with a deeper, greater knowledge and understanding of who you are. Jesus, pour out your Spirit upon these people mightily and use them. May they stand strong, Lord God, to endure the attacks of the enemy. May their lives be a testimony that shows that Jesus is not just an historical figure, but He's alive, He's well, and He's coming soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations, guys and ladies. Some of you folks are going to come up here a second time. I did. As hierdie persoon se regte naam, dan ken ek hulle net by hulle noemnaam, Darrell van Staden. Yeah. Okay. The following baptismal candidates, you can come up and get your certificates as well, please. Please report to the front as soon as your name is called. Deline, Shanae, congratulations as well. There we go, Deline. Whoops, Shanae, Samantha. Sam had such a discussion with me about when she wanted to make sure, just in case there's something more that she's going to learn in LTS. She didn't want to be baptized before the time. She wanted to know it all first. Bless the people's hearts. Wesley, that's for you, sir. Because, and Lizette, a second, I can't, terwijl ek hier so staan. Janine, that's for you. And Janita, bless you, love. And then Lizette, and then Leon. Waar is my broer Leon? I'll say, feels geluk, Leon. Awesome. Congratulations, guys and ladies. We're starting a new theme this week. You may not have noticed the posters. It's called More Than Milkshake. More Than Milkshake. How many of you, you see, I'm so glad somebody said yum yum. Because the truth of the matter is that in general, milkshakes depict like happiness and fun and life, isn't it? It's usually, normally when you're having a milkshake, it's not because you've come out of ICU with one of your organs removed. You have a milkshake because it's, you just, you will net saam kair met mense and it's lekker. Now, I love the taste of milkshakes. I don't like what it does to my body, but I love the taste of milkshakes. But folks, life is more than milkshake. We want to go out and have fun and experience joy and happiness. Who doesn't want joy and happiness? Oom dit nie hê nie. Ons kom vir oom, miskien het die oom nie reg gehoor nie. So please pray for that oom. He doesn't want joy and happiness. No, I'm just kidding. But it's in general, it represents something that I think, unless you really twisted and messed up, most folks, I don't say normal, because normal is a setting on a washing machine, but most folks want joy and happiness in life, and milkshake kind of represents that. But my folks, and people of God, I'd be doing you an injustice and a disservice if all I did was preach feel-good messages and not tell you the full gospel about what this Christianity thing is all about and what it means to carry our cross daily and what it means to be in a fallen, dying world to say, I'll follow Jesus. Life is more than just milkshakes. And our theme scripture is from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26. And it's a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. It's unfulfilled, but it gives us an understanding of what is to come. So if you've got your Bibles, you'd like to follow there with me, or you want to read it on screen, Hebrews 12 and verse 26. Be part of that verse says, and when God spoke from Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth. But now He makes another promise. God makes a promise. He says, once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being able to share Your word together this morning. You have prepared indeed a table for us in the presence of our enemy. Thank You that we can partake of the bread of life. Your word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and of spirit, and of bone and of marrow. And it's a discerner of the hearts and the intents of mankind, Father. And Lord, I ask that You move beyond the limitations of my human speech, that You watch over Your word to perform it, that we will not only be hearers of the word, but become doers of the work. May this transform us into being more like Jesus and knowing You more when we leave this place, in Jesus' precious name. So we see that God gives a promise that He's going to shake the earth. And this is an unfulfilled promise. It speaks about various dispensations that the Holy Spirit is still busy with and that we're going to see. But folks, there's definitely a shaking taking place in the world today. At a personal level, on a global level, on a corporate level, in family lives. And God says, the reason that this has been done in verse 27 of Hebrews 12, it says, this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed. Why? To rattle people's cages? No. So that only unshakable things remain. I've seen animals, and those of you who are National Geographic buffs and who actually paid attention in high school, you see there's animals that go to trees and they shake the trees to get fruit off the trees, and the fruit falls to the ground and becomes easy pickings. I've seen machines that do that, that drive through the crops, and they grab hold of a branch or something like that, or the stump of the tree, and they shake and they shake and they shake, and stuff falls to the ground. Sometimes it's because the stuff is ripe and ready to be picked, but sometimes it's been corrupted and polluted and bitten and eaten by insects and pestilence and diseases. And every promise that we receive from God, from the moment you start believing it, you become a threat to the devil as your mind gets renewed by the word of God, and Satan will want to take that away from you. Any promise in the scripture that you believe is your own, my brother, my sister, does nie net vir kop kennis nie. Hello. When you start to act out and live out what you say you believe in, you get the attention of the devil, and he wants to come and steal, to kill, and to destroy that from you. And we see in the book of Job, how Satan was doing his thing, going to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for people to mess up. And the spiritual beings presented themselves before God, and God said to them, "What have you guys been up to?" And Satan explained himself, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? Look how honorable he is, and how righteous he is, and what a faithful man he is, and he serves me." And Satan said, "Yeah, man, of course it's easy for him to do that, because he's got this and he's got that. He's living a life of abundance, very, very wealthy man at that stage in his life." And Satan said, "I bet you that if you let me attack him, he'll turn his back on you." And guess what happened? These are the parts of the Bible that we wish weren't there. And God says, "Okay, have at it. You want to go at my boy? Go for it." Because God knew the integrity of Job's heart. And God knew that Job knew God. And we see in one day, everybody say one day, Job lost everything that is important to him. His wealth, his prosperity, his family, everything. Everything. And he still didn't deny God and turn his back on God. How's about a shaking taking place in your life like that, folks? Where you get one phone call after the next. This is gone, that's lost, this one's died, this is there no more. My brother, my sister, how will you react? Jy sien, dit is so maklik vir ons om hier so te staan op 'n Sondagoggend of te sit en halleluja, prys die Here, raak opgewonde. But when we leave this building and the tire meets the tar and the pawpaw hits the fan and stuff happens, what comes out of our mouths? How do we react? I lost the plot big time this week. I stood at a certain government department and they're not yet to defend themselves, so I won't say the name. And I was in the queue for over an hour, only to get to the till and be turned away after an hour. I was not blessed. Not a happy camper. And I just realized we've gone through an intense period of LTS where I'm giving two sermons an evening and it's all the spirituality, and I lose the plot like that. I didn't insult anybody. I didn't lose my temper with anybody except my wife. She phoned because we hurt the ones we love the most. And she phones, and I just asked her, I didn't have my card. Long story short, I thought, yeah, Mozzie, and now, when things don't go your way, this man Job lost everything. And then he still didn't deny God. And Satan says, okay, I bet you if you let me attack his body, then it's going to be different. And in the same day, Job got gravely ill, and he still didn't denounce and renounce God. Even his wife, gentlemen, even his wife said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" How's that for his number one cheerleader supporting him? She's like, "Dude, you've lost everything. What's the point of being loyal to this God of yours?" And the scripture says that through all of that, Job remained faithful and strong and stood the test of the enemy. Why? Because God wasn't just somebody that he spoke of occasionally. God wasn't in the form of some statue made with the hands of man. God wasn't somebody that he read about in ancient scriptures written by the prophets. And theologians teach us that in all probability the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. But you see, God was inside Job. There's a difference. And when the shaking comes, folks will say, when the shaking comes, what's going to remain in our lives? The fruit of self? Or the fruit of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What's going to keep me strong? My dedication, my commitment, my discipline, my talents, my skills? No. Unless Jesus is a reality to you, sir, ma'am, it's a matter of time before you crack and fail under the pressure. Because you don't need to become a Christian to get the devil to hate you. From the moment you were born, a spiritual being entered the arena of spirituality, and God, Satan saw, yes, another creature created in the image of God. He decided he hates you. So you didn't even have to get all teachy, preachy, and speak Christianese for the devil to get offended at you. The fact that you're created in the image of God, he's gunning for you. Then when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become filled with the Spirit of God. Then you become a real threat to the devil. Then he unleashes the dogs of war, so to speak. And when that happens in your life, sir, ma'am, where are you going to be? How are you going to stand? You see, I believe it's important for us as the Church of Jesus Christ, especially as we get closer and closer to his return, to be able to withstand the things that the world and the devil has to throw at us, so that when the world sees these people, they still have joy unspeakable. Happiness is dependent on external circumstances and things, but there's a joy inside them. There's something about them that is different. What is that? And folks, unless we live lives that are like that, hoe sal hulle kan onderskei tussen die wêreld en die kerk? These days, the lines have become so blurred. There's just as much of the world inside the church as there is the world on the outside of the church. The world wants to see the real deal. They want to see Jesus lived out in men and women like you and me. They will say, Lord, I'll be obedient to the point of death. To the point of death. But when the going gets tough for us as Christians, our biggest persecution is when one of our vehicles break down or the aircon stop working. Then we start prayer chains. Ooh, dit raak nou rof. Let's start prayer chain. How many of you have ever had an actual literal contract taken out in your name because of your confession of faith in Jesus Christ? Can I see your hands? How many of you have had to ontdek mense, they want to take you out because you're causing so much damage in the kingdom of darkness that the devil wants to put a stop to your life? You see, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But if you're choosing to walk the walk as well as talk the talk, my brother, my sister, that time is coming. That time is coming. We're way past the stage where Christianity is popular. We're way past that stage. It's unpopular to live a life of uncompromising faith in Jesus Christ. It's unpopular. And the time is coming where our faith is going to be criminalized in this country. It's going to be illegal to speak the gospel. You're going to be arrested for being in possession of a Bible, etc., etc. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for that? I believe God wants His church to be ready for that. And it's not like, ooh, doom and gloom. Folks, it's always been in the scriptures. Just read your Bibles. It's there. This is not news. Hallelujah. God wants the unshakable things to remain. Next passage of scripture. The book of James. This is Jesus' half-brother. Born to Joseph and Mary after Jesus hit the scene. James chapter 1 from verse 2 to 8. We're going to look at 7 points quickly from this short passage of scripture. Jacobus, hoofstuk 1, vers 2 tot 8. Dear brothers and sisters, when, everybody say when, not if. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Wow. If only I lived like that. Hallelujah, I've got troubles. Woohoo! Hallelujah, I've got difficulties. No, jy moet sien hoe brom ek. Ek brom, julle. I inflate my lips to 20 bar. Dan wip ek my. Ja, maar hoekom, Here? Ek doen die en ek doen daai. Ek's 'n man van geloof. Count it all joy when the troubles come. Why? God is always up to something, and it's always up to good for you. When these things come, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, everybody say endurance, has a chance to grow. And so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to explain perfection there quickly. The biblical perfection, according to that passage in Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, means complete in Christ, lacking nothing. It's not this worldly perfectionism. I've said before, stay away from any isms. Okay? Not worldly perfectionism where it means you never ever make a mistake, you never put a foot wrong, you never stumble, you never fall, you don't lose the plot. No, 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 no. That's worldly fantasy. This perfection means being complete in Christ, lacking nothing. You see, sometimes we won't know Jesus is all we need till Jesus is all we've got. Folks, you've got Jesus. You've got everything. I said, you got Jesus, you got everything. He's given us all things that pertain to life. All things. You got Jesus, you got everything. That's what it means. You'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But we've got to go through the process of our faith being tested. Verse 5. If you need wisdom. Ha, ha, ha. How funny is that? If you need wisdom. Ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. The loyalty is divided. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Let's move right along, 7 points quickly, and then we'll land this thing. We'll come into the pits for a tire change and a refuel. The MotoGP season has started this Sunday as we speak as race two. Hallelujah. That's very spiritual. I mean, when I watch it, I pray for those guys. I'm praying for them. It's very spiritual. Don't shoot me down now. Point number one is when, not if, trouble comes. When. When it comes, it's coming. And that shaking is going to take place. Don't fear. God has not forsaken us, and He's not forgotten us. People speak, I hear people say, you know, this God-forsaken country. There's no such place. There's no such place. Let me remind you, if God finds, I need some spuchenplak. If this doesn't cooperate, then I'll grab the other mic. But I like having my hands available. There's no such thing as a God-forsaken country. If there's one God-fearing person in that country is not forsaken. You see that pattern in Scripture. And this morning we have a room full of people that fear the Lord. Number two, endurance to grow. God wants us to grow. People say, God loves you just the way you are. And that's true. It's nice coming to a place where there's no expectancy on you to change. Where you don't have to become something, you just are. How cool is that? Isn't it nice to be able to come to church dressed in a way that's comfortable to you? That's kind of cool, isn't it? God loves us just the way we are. But He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow beyond where you are at now. He wants to take you to the next level of faith and obedience in Him. He wants you to see the next facet of His face, the next abundance of blessings that He has for you. He wants you to see aspects of His nature and personality that you've not yet discovered, my brother, my sister. That's what God wants for you. Endurance to grow. Number three, perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Why? God wants His very best for your lives, ready to face any kind of attack from the devil. And when our world shakes, we stand strong. Point number four, wisdom. Folks, it's going to take wisdom. If you're doing all the right Christian things, you're testifying, you're praying, you're giving, you're teaching, you're worshiping, you're committed, you're involved, whatever, you're laying it all down for Jesus, it's very easy that when the devil gets something right in your life, you think, but God, why? How many of you have asked, my Here, hoekom? Come on. It doesn't make sense to our minds, isn't it? It doesn't make sense. But when God does not make sense, He can always be trusted. I believe, amongst other things, God wants us to be at this place where we're not only seeking the giver of the answers, we're seeking the giver, whether we get an answer or not. How many of us, just gauge your prayer life, how much of it is spent actually asking for something? And it's cool and it's great to do that. The Scripture says, ask and you will receive. But how much you spend asking versus just enjoying His presence? Just enjoying God for who He is. And not even reporting for duty. Some people think that their life's mission is, I've got to go and I've got to do. I've got to be a human doing. No, you must be a human being. My brother, my sister, regardless of the prophetic call on your life and the anointing of God to achieve whatever, maybe it's one of the fivefold offices or to be a king in the business world or whatever. If you at the end of your days are sitting on your porch, you're just looking at the bike. And you're all broken and messed up. You can't ride anymore. You're looking at your porch and you're rocking on your wheels, rocking on your rocking chair or moving on your wheelchair. Up and down. And you've not led a single person to the Lord. But you've had an intimate encounter with Jesus. Kan nie meer hoor nie. Okay, time out. Thanks, gentlemen.